From the Land Grant University in Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of November 2011. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He's filling in for Wayne Nelson, who's out of the office this afternoon. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear all about a brand new herbicide-resistant weed that has made its way into the state of Illinois. It makes water hemp look pretty tame. It's important that you take a listen to that one. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Mark Report, including the agricultural weather forecast from Don Day.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $6.57. Up 18 and a quarter cents. The March at 679 and a half, up 13 and a quarter. And May at $7 and a quarter, up 12 cents. July 715 and a quarter, up 11 and a quarter. September 739, up 9 and three quarters. December corn futures 660 and a half, 7 and a quarter higher. The March at 671, up 5 and three quarters. May futures 678 and a quarter, up 5 and a half cents. And July corn 681 and a quarter, up 4 and a half. December of next year at $6.14 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter cents. November soybean futures today, $11.95 and a quarter, up 3 on the afternoon. January at $12.05, up 3 and a quarter. The March 12, 14 and 3 quarters, 3 and a quarter higher. May soybeans, $12.25, up 3 and a half. July at $12.34 and a quarter, a bushel, up 3 and a quarter. And November of next year at $12.23 and a half, up a nickel. December bean meal at $307.60, down $1.70. December soybean oil at $51.85, up 65 cents. Live cattle futures finished the February at $124.80 on the afternoon, 47.5 cents higher. April at $128.25, down 35. November feeder cattle at $141.55, down 47.5. January at $145.50, a buck 27.5 lower. And February lean hogs at $87.32.5, down $1.07. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil at $96.71 a barrel, up $1.19. Ethanol at $2.67.4, that's a penny and a half higher. Natural gas at $3.76.6, up 0.7%, actually up 7 cents even. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.11.8, just about unchanged. And gold futures for the day at $1,798.40 an ounce, up $8.10. The Dow now just about 77 points higher at 12,144. The dollar at 76.6 is down 0.4. And the CRB index at 322.61, up 1.38 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It will be cloudy with a high near 68 degrees. South winds at about 17 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 24. Tonight showers, possibly a thunderstorm, a low of 51. South winds at 16 to 18, gusting to 25. Chance of precipitation this evening at 90%, and tomorrow partly cloudy. A low of, this is tomorrow evening, partly cloudy, a low of 32. West-northwest winds between 10 and 14, with gusts as high as 22. Tomorrow during the day, a 30% chance of showers before noon, partly sunny. The temperatures will fall to around 45 degrees by about 5 p.m. Breezy, south-southwest winds between 15 and 23, gusting all the way to 32. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 44. West-northwest winds at 11 to 18. Thursday night, clear and 29. On Veterans Day, sunny with a high near 50 degrees. Sunny with a high near 55 on Saturday. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 45 degrees. And on Sunday, partly sunny, a high near 60 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and talk with Don Day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities is out of the office. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, happily is filling in for him this afternoon. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate you being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, first off, Dave Dickey and I will be out of the office tomorrow, so some of the things that normally folks would expect from us, especially on a report day, and we apologize for this, but they simply will not happen, as we will be spending the day in close quarters in a vehicle headed to Kansas City for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. And by default, I won't talk to you tomorrow because I'll still be on our way there about the time. We should be arriving just about the time this program airs tomorrow, but we'll put back together a pretty nice program. We're going to go through, I think, and start with a couple of weeks ago on Commodity Week, Paul. We had I think you were there for this show. I don't recall exactly. We had Michael Cordonnier on the air with us, gave us a whole bunch of numbers about the South American bean crop. Those numbers are still good. If you didn't hear them first time and you didn't have your penciled out, tomorrow would be a good time to have those out because he did a really good job of detailing those. So we'll re-air part of that and put together the rest of the program as well. But let's get, Paul, to what happened today, which was pretty unusual, I think, and a little bit unexplained in Chicago, that we had a pretty good uptrend. What do you say?
Yes, and there will be a commodity report tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Correct? Yes. While you and I won't be on the air together tomorrow afternoon, the pre-opening and the opening market reports will air, and they will be live. It just won't be Dave in the morning because he's traveling, and in the afternoon it's just a much longer and harder show to put together, so I'll put that together this evening.
But will there be a 10 o'clock deal with me then tomorrow?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Okay, you will be on the air tomorrow morning.
Okay, that's good for our listeners.
So make sure that you cover everything really well tomorrow, and it will be very well good for our listeners. So you'll need to tune in at 8:50 or 9:50 tomorrow for those listeners on our home station.
This was a guessing game kind of a day. We all know that there is this major crisis in Chicago with the Mann Financial, and it continues to unroll, and we continue to see a day pre-market before the big USDA crop production report, and we did see a couple of things. You know, corn went over the 40-day moving average, and wheat did. There continues to be a very strong rally today in wheat, and the outside markets between the stock market and crude oil all put in a tremendous day. The market acted like it was a little short, and there was short covering rallies. And, of course, the real eye-opener was the wheat market. If we understand that in Paris, France, the French wheat market was very, very strong. And I think there was massive, in my opinion, the way the market acted, there was massive short covering in wheat, possibly unwinding spreads or other positions, and it was a little bit of a catch-you-by-surprise type of market today.
Why do you think it happened?
Well, I think a couple things. I think that, because it is so quiet. Because of these other outside problems, I think there's a little distortion as far as a buy order has a little more impact and a sell order has a little more impact. And I think because of the thin trade, smaller than normal, it did influence the marketplace a little more than normal today.
Right. This is one of those first days where we've seen lack of liquidity turn into volatility, which is what happens, right?
That's my opinion, yes.
The Cooley opinion. So it's been interesting, and I don't know how much you'll want to comment on this, but that I know that when I talked to the energy folks that were supposed to be with us this afternoon, they said we need to beg off. They're located in Chicago, and I think they're dealing indirectly with what's happening with Mann Financial or MF Global. People are busy moving accounts and IBs and paperwork and reshuffling to absorb this enormous company into six or seven other places, and they all have to be moved. It's not that they can just shut them down. They actually have to be moved and continue to operate, right?
Yes, and unfortunately, it's one of the biggest problems that I've seen since I've been in this business for over, 36, 7 years. And it's enormous because we have seen major problems, with Revco and Continental Grain and Cook Industries and Revco and Heinhold Commodities and people like that. But this is, a major. Stotler was another one that had a little bit of a hiccup. But this is big, and it's monumental, lots of volume, international scope, and other exchanges are making it hard to make things happen. And we're talking about real money, lots of money, and that also compounds the deal. And unfortunately, this is one thing that my heart goes out to an IB or a customer or somebody that's caught in this debacle. And, that's all, all I can say. At some point in time, it will settle down. And yesterday, we understand O'Brien basically requested that the crop production report would be postponed till next Monday, and the Department of Agriculture said no, that wasn't a possibility.
You think that was the right decision on their part?
I had talked over with some people, and they said by law it's awful hard for the USDA
I would think it would be awful hard. I have to admit that that one caught me off guard during the show yesterday. Kurt mentioned it in the afternoon, and while I was in the midst of talking to and I bet you could tell this, while I was in the midst of talking to Mark Russo, I was making a phone call to Joe Prasaki to see what USDA knew at that point, and they hadn't made a decision, so I didn't pass that along. But they were busy working, trying to figure out what to do, and probably were a bit surprised that somebody even asked them to delay
it. We do know that there has been cases where I think they've been postponed, and I don't know if it was that in I tell you when it was. It was 9/11. I think that was we postponed a report.
Oh, I think that is correct. Right.
So it isn't.
But everybody was on lockdown then.
Well,
more so than a lockup, but
that's,
lockdown.
That's
yeah.
correct, yes.
All right. So what else should we discuss this afternoon?
Well, I think the other factor is that this is an important report. Extremely important, because not only will we have the bushels, but we also will get the carryover, and we are guessing a great deal about the stocks and actually the carryover and what demand is. And, of course, we're being haunted with this idea that China's buying beans from South America. We ultimately think that bean supply will show up here in the U.S., and we're being haunted by cheap wheat as feed grains out of Australia and the Ukraine, and cheap corn. And, of course, the USDA has a monumental task here of sorting that demand out, as well as these production numbers. And, this is going to have a tremendous impact. And, of course, the good news, though, is that it does look like the market is functioning in Chicago, and it does look like our economy is starting to turn around. So it's going to be a tremendous day tomorrow. And I did notice this, Todd. I want to talk on just a little bit. The customers that have been harvesting this rainy day, we had a lot of phone calls and a lot of talk about what's going on in the marketplace. So I think the farmer is going to put on his marketing hat here and watch the markets a little closer after this trouble-free harvest that we saw.
No, you take care of our listeners tomorrow morning for me, would
well,
you?
Well, and have everything's up to date in Kansas City. Don't forget.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a good.
Mm-hmm. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Be sure, if you have the opportunity, to tune in to him on our local station, WILL, tomorrow morning, or on our website at Will Ag not long after he airs. Now, here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said yesterday it will change its approach to managing the Missouri River following a summer of record flooding that damaged or destroyed hundreds of homes, led to millions of dollars in road repairs, and forced communities to scramble to build temporary levees. The Corps said it will make the changes in the coming months, including getting as much water out of the river's basin's reservoir system as possible before spring, and aggressively releasing more water in the spring if needed. The changes come in response to concerns voiced by residents, many of whom lost crops or were forced out of their homes for weeks by the flooding. During 8 public meetings recently held in Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, Montana, and North Dakota, the public meetings often turned contentious, with Corps officials facing angry residents who blamed them for not doing more to allay the flooding. A House Senate Conference Committee this week is continuing consideration of the fiscal 2013 appropriations bill covering USDA and several other related agencies that have been bundled with 2 other relatively non-controversial appropriations measures in what has become known as a mini-bus package. The goal is to put the final touches on the legislation this week and to have it ready to move through both chambers as soon as possible. The Humane Society of the United States has adopted a new line of attack in an ongoing campaign to improve the welfare of farm animals. The organization has filed a complaint with the Securities and Exchange Commission, charging Smithfield Foods with making false and misleading claims to shareholders and consumers about its corporate responsibility practices in violation of federal securities law. The Humane Society says that a Smithfield video series titled Taking the Mystery Out of Pork Production claims that the company has higher animal welfare and environmental standards than it actually does. Smithfield, the world's largest pork producer, calls the allegations wholly without merit. OPEC today says that oil refiners in Europe and the United States can expect no significant improvement in profitability over the next few years as global overcapacity increases. OPEC said in its annual World Oil Outlook today that construction of new oil refineries is likely to raise global surplus capacity to as much as 10 million barrels per day by 2015, increasing pressure on margins and forcing more closures of older plants. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Up next, the state statisticians with updates on their regions on crop conditions.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending November 6th. Weather conditions were near normal last week, with temperatures and precipitation averaging 48.4 degrees and 1.03 inches, respectively. And despite the widespread showers falling heaviest across the northern two-thirds of the state, harvesting continued to progress ahead of the 5-year averages for corn and soybeans. Topsoil moisture supplies ended the week at 5% very short, 28% short, 65% adequate, and 2% surplus. Statewide corn harvest advanced to 94% complete, compared with 99% last year and 78% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district trailing all others in corn harvest activity was the Northwestern District, where only 82% had been harvested by week's end. Soybean harvest was nearing completion at 97%, compared with 100% 1 year ago and 89% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district trailing all others in soybean harvest activity was the Southwestern District, where only 80% had been harvested by week's end. Soft red winter wheat seeding was reported at 95%, compared to 99% a year ago, and 89% for the 5-year average. 78% of the seeded acres have emerged, compared to 74% for the 5-year average. Overall, the wheat crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. Sorghum harvest was reported at 75% complete, compared to 77% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending November 6, 2011. Precipitation in the forms of both rain and snow fell during the middle of the week, slowing most field operations. Strong winds on Saturday aided in drying fields to allow producers to proceed with field operations. Corn harvest was mostly completed in the eastern half of the state, while the Panhandle District is only half harvested. Harvest progress at 87% statewide was a week behind last year, but 15 days ahead of average. Sorghum harvest at 85% was 2 weeks ahead of average. Fall tillage has been ongoing on harvested fields. Conditions were good to apply anhydrous ammonia with soil temperatures that range from the low 40s in the Panhandle to upper 40s in the east. Wheat conditions continue well above last year. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report. Dry conditions prevailed this past week, allowing producers to complete harvest activities. As of November 6th, corn was 98% harvested, compared to 93% last year and 73% for the five-year average. The average moisture content of harvested corn was 14%. In addition to harvest activities, producers were completing fall tillage, applying fertilizer, and installing and upgrading drainage systems. Statewide, 6.7 days were rated suitable for field work. Temperatures across the state were nearly 5 degrees above normal for the week, and rain was minimal. Central and south-central areas recorded no precipitation, while southeastern areas recorded the highest weekly precip of 8/100ths of an inch. Due to prolonged precipitation shortfalls, areas in the northeast as well as most of southern Minnesota were classified as undergoing moderate to severe drought by the U.S. Drought Monitor. This is the last weekly crop weather report for the 2011 growing season. We'll begin publishing weekly reports again in April 2012 when the spring field activities begin again. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. As a reminder, I will be out of the office tomorrow traveling to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City during the airing of this program. It will be here, but I'll pre-produce it this evening for you to listen to tomorrow. Now up next, herbicide-resistant versions of water hemp are spreading northward in the state of Illinois. As you'll hear, a second more aggressive herbicide-resistant weed is right on its heels.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Glyphosate-resistant versions of water hemp have been showing up in southern Illinois for quite some time. Today, there are populations of this plant that have adapted to as many as 5 different families of herbicides farmers have used to control it. Now, water hemp is a powerhouse of a weed, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
Water hemp is really a species that's very well adapted to modern farming practices. It has a lot of biological characteristics that really allow it to thrive in modern farming systems. For example, produces an abundant amount of seed, and they're very, very small seed that typically don't germinate if they're buried very deeply into the soil profile. And as we've seen a pretty dramatic shift over the decades to more limited tillage and even no tillage, very good environment for these small seeded species really to thrive.
Water hemp plants are either male or female, too. It has to cross in order to produce seed, and that crossing creates genetic diversity. Oh, and one more path to pass on herbicide resistance. So water hemp is one tough weed for farmers to deal with in the state of Illinois. But if they think it's bad, wait until they meet its bigger, badder cousin from the south, Palmer amaranth.
This is another dioecious amaranth. This is very similar in a lot of respects to water hemp in its biology, but a lot of work down through the years has clearly shown that it's a much more competitive species than even water hemp is. It's a very aggressively, very rapidly growing species. We talk about water hemp maybe growing, perhaps on a good day it may put on about an inch of new growth. Palmer, on the other hand, may put on 2 to 3 inches of new growth.
And yes, Palmer amaranth is in the state of Illinois. These are found in the wild in the middle of the state. There is a population in southern Illinois that has been confirmed glyphosate resistant. And like water hemp, it will be a growing problem. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Support comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economic Summit meetings December 12th through the 16th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details on their website, farmdoc.illinois.edu.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is now here to take up the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start right here in the Midwest. We've got rainfall. How much do you think we'll see over the period of this set of showers?
Well, it looks like, especially the western areas, we are going to be looking at areas that could do much better than 3/4 to 1.5 inches, maybe upwards of 2 inches, especially central and northern Illinois. Those areas, especially overnight tonight and in the morning hours of Wednesday, going to see some really good shower activity. That heavier area of precipitation will then translate northward into the Great Lakes. Lesser amounts, more like upwards to 1/2 inch, 3/4 inch, will be found across Indiana, Ohio, but there's going to be very few locations escaping this front. Just about everybody in the Midwest Corn Belt will be wet with this through late tomorrow before it clears out tomorrow night.
Does that include Minnesota and Iowa, who in both states have been very dry for the last nearly 3 months now?
One of two. It's going to get Iowa, especially central and eastern Iowa will catch this. Only the far southeast corner of Minnesota is really going to get much out of this.
And then touch on Ohio. They've been wet. They're still behind trying to harvest their corn crop. Can you tell me whether they'll be able to work in the next several days?
Well, they're going to get wet out of this, but they're not going to catch the heaviest precipitation. So we're looking at, unfortunately, maybe some delays in the short term. There will be some cool, dry air coming in behind this system for a couple of days. Next chance of showers will come in Sunday and Monday. So there's still going to be some delays there. The good news is they're going to miss out on the heavier precipitation.
Have you been watching the growing areas in the southern hemisphere?
Well, yes, and taking a look as they go deeper and deeper into their spring season. In South America, getting a little more wet. Brazil, shower activity is going to be fairly widespread and common. Last time we talked, Argentina was faring better with the rain. This time it's Brazil. Argentina's got some shower activity coming, but it'll be more spotty.
And then turn your attention to some other places around the planet. China, Ukraine, and France all have a winter wheat crop, much like we do. That should be going into dormancy. How did it get sown, and is it set up for a good dormant season at this point?
Well, it looks that way for China. Now, as we get over into Europe, it's been a little bit more of an up-and-down pattern there, alternating between dry and a little bit wet. Right now, Europe, a little bit drier, and so they could use some precipitation. And right now, at least in the next 5 to 10 days, it's going to be scant, although I do see areas of France maybe getting into some needed precipitation next week.
Thanks so much, and we appreciate you taking the time with us, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit with us tomorrow morning. Don't forget that the USDA will release its crop production numbers at about 7:30, not about, but exactly 7:30 a.m. If you're signed up for our weekend newsletter and have given us your cell phone number, we will text those numbers to you. But Dave and I are going to try something a little unique because we will actually be on the road by then to Kansas City. So hopefully we'll be able to get that done from a remote location. I don't foresee any problem with it, but we'll get that started there. Dave and I will be out of the office during the day. Our normal reports will come to you on our local broadcast programming at 8:50 and 9:50. But this program will be pre-recorded tomorrow afternoon. Thanks for listening. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.